the past 3 years, we've heard a lot about the threat of a recession, felt the pain of high inflation. Grocery bills and everyday consumer items cost, on average, about 10% more. That makes a real dent on a household budget. But now some good news. Things, economically speaking, are looking up. Inflation is down. Unemployment is at a record low. Wages are rising. Consumers are still spending. The only hiccup is high interest rates, and the Federal Reserve is considering whether it needs at least one more hike. So to walk us through all of what's going on in our economy, both in the region and nationally, we have the Philadelphia Federal Reserve President Patrick Harker with us in Studio 2. President Harker, welcome.
Oh, thank you very much for having me.
And if you have questions, by the way, for President Harker, you can email us at studio2@whyy.org.
So, Patrick, we're happy to have you here. So talks of a recession have been dissipating over the last few weeks, with economists saying we might just get a soft landing. Yeah. I want you to sort of explain what signs experts like yourself look at to determine whether or not we're going to make that soft landing and what exactly that means.
Right. So back to, let's start with the Fed's mandate, maximum employment, stable prices. And we define stable prices as 2% inflation. We're not there. And inflation's too high. It's hurting the average American, particularly those of modest means, right? The ones who are spending a lot of money on groceries and so forth, a big part of their budget. So we're moving in the right direction. So what do we look at? Unemployment rates, inflation numbers, and overall economic growth. While it's not perfect, I think there is a path to getting that soft landing. What is that soft landing? Taking inflation down to 2% over time, and it's going to take some time, without damaging the employment markets in a significant way. Unemployment may tick up a little bit, but we don't expect it to tick up a lot. And so we'll get back to what economists call the natural rate of unemployment, you know, 4-ish percent. We've been low for a while. If you think pre-pandemic, and it's hard to remember what what life was like before the pandemic, we had low unemployment and we had low inflation. And I don't see personally why we can't get back to that situation. It'll take some time, though. We
have Would you have said that a year ago?
I was more concerned. I was more concerned. But, you know, what caused this inflation? And you have to step back and say, what caused it? Well, it was really three things. One, we had all these supply chain disruptions. And some of those still exist. I mean, some of those were not out of the woods completely. Second, the fiscal stimulus. We put a lot of money into the hands of Americans, around $6 trillion into the hands of Americans. And third, accommodative monetary policy. That's us, right? We kept interest rates very low. So we've moved to raise interest rates to try to bring demand in. So what do we want to do? We want to get demand and supply in balance. And so we brought interest rates up to try to do that, and it's slowly doing that. Things are cooling off, but not a lot. We don't want it to cool off a lot. The fiscal stimulus is pretty much done, and you talk to banks, the people are spending through that money that was given to them. And the supply chain, again, the supply chain issues are starting to heal.
I got to ask you, because you talked about the interest rates, and consumers are still spending. A lot of them are using their credit cards to keep the spending up, and credit card interest rates are going up, mortgage interest rates going up. Just explain how the Fed is using these interest rates. And it just makes me nervous that at some point you're going to have all this consumer debt.
Yeah. So what do we do? What is monetary policy? We try to make, in this case, money more expensive. And that's what the interest rates do, right? They make money more expensive. And that cools off things like the housing market, the auto market, the things that are interest sensitive, right? And so people would typically go and get a loan to do. It cools off construction for commercial real estate and other construction projects, as it makes that credit more expensive for businesses. So again, we're starting to see that. But in my case, I don't want to overdo it. I think we're at a point now where we'll see how the data evolve between now and our next meeting in September. But I think we can hold for a while where we are and let the economy settle into this situation, and then start to bring the interest rates down. I don't expect us doing that for a while, not this year, but sometime probably next year, we'll start to bring the rates down.
So you don't need to artificially cool. The cooling is happening,
happening.
You can sort of let it coast.
Yeah, that's exactly my view. I think we can let it coast. what economists call long and variable lags of monetary policy. That is, it takes a while.
Really catchy term there.
Yeah, right? Another way of putting it is it just takes a lot of time for this stuff to catch up,
right,
to have an effect.
And I think you said today you think you're going to hit that target rate of 2% by 2025.
Yeah, inflation. We'll take our time. So we don't have to stomp on the economy to try to get it to cool down quickly, because that hurts people too. It's a balancing act here, right? The people that are hurt most by high inflation are those of low to modest income. The people who get laid off first, if we really try to cool the economy too much, are people of low to modest income, typically. So this is where we have to do this carefully.
So I got to ask you this, because I've talked to some small business owners, specifically folks who have lower wage jobs available, and they are having a hard time finding people because people want to make more money. I went to the grocery store yesterday. I was complaining to Avi. I spent $100 on groceries that I probably would have spent $65 to $70 on a couple of years ago. When will people start feeling this optimism that we're starting to see in the rhetoric from economists like yourself?
Yeah, so it's going to take some time. Energy prices are very volatile. Just watch gas prices go up and down as you drive down the street. So that is a global market of oil. It's just a lot of factors that go into oil prices. Grocery prices, there were issues that hit us, like when eggs shot up, that was an avian disease, right? That was an avian disease. It really wasn't a demand issue. It was really a supply issue. That the grocery prices are starting to cool off. But what I look at in particular are those things that the average American really needs, right? They need shelter. They need food. They need transportation. They need, and I worry about those prices more than anything else right now. They are starting to cool, but not enough yet. That's why we need to keep going. Not keep going by raising rates, but keep going by holding for a while and get those prices down.
We got an email here from Gregory, who I think is worried a little bit about the idea of sort of letting us naturally cool down.
Yeah. Gregory
says, instead of a soft landing, might we be headed to no landing with the economy growing and inflation staying north of 3%? That seems almost as likely as soft landing. And would that mean higher interest rates?
I don't think so. Because I ask myself, I think about this a lot, and I ask myself, what's different fundamentally in the U.S. economy now than the way it was before the pandemic hit? And there are lots of different things that have happened to us. I mean, the pandemic was, you know, incredibly damaging in some ways. But in many ways, not many things have changed.
Right.
Right? So think back to where we were.
So we're low unemployment.
We had low. But we know that there are demographic trends. Demography defines a lot of what's going on. So we know there are demographic trends that are affecting the economy. Us, me, the baby boomers, we're retiring. We're the largest generation in America to go into retirement. That's having an effect on the labor market. Other things are having an effect on the labor market, immigration policy, et cetera. But those things are outside the realm of monetary policy, but they do affect the economy. So, but I don't think we have to stay in a high inflation regime. I think we can get back to where we were.
And if you are just tuning in, we are speaking with Patrick Harker, president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia. We're talking all things economy, all things inflation. And if you have a question or a comment, you can email us at studio2@whyy.org. Both Avi and I are very interested in talking about jobs. You kind of touched on it just now. 3.5% unemployment nationally. I want you to zoom in a little bit on our region. Mm-hmm. What does our job market look like? What are the strong sectors? What sectors are weaker?
So manufacturing is weak, and we've been weak for a while. It's cooling off a lot in the region. We see that through our Manufacturing Business Outlook survey. Hospitality generally has picked up, except for, and we see this with restaurants and so forth, except for hotels. They're still pre-pandemic, and Taylor Swift tried to help us there. But it's not completely back.
One more tour, Taylor.
But not exactly back to where we were. So that generally, the economy here, the labor market's very strong. As you said, though, employers continue to look for workers. Yeah. And this is where we need to get more people off the sidelines who aren't working right now, don't have the skills, get them the skills, get them the opportunities. We've done a lot of work at the Philly Fed on what we call opportunity occupations, jobs that pay above median wages where you don't need a four-year college degree. We have a whole host. We even have a tool to help people see what those opportunities are for them. we need to get people those skills, help them get those skills. And the other thing we need to do, and we've been involved and really led something called the Worker Voices Project at the Fed. And this is a Fed-wide initiative, but Philadelphia and Atlanta Feds were leading this. Employers ask, well, where are the workers? Why aren't they taking the jobs? Well, we went and asked workers, why weren't they taking those jobs? And what we heard from them is that their lives are complex, right? They've got a lot of factors, the child care issues, elder care issues, you name it, that are holding them back in some cases. But also, the pandemic gave them a chance to look at their lives and say, you know, I want a job where I'm treated with dignity. I want a job where my boss doesn't tell me my schedule a day or two in advance. Here, I remember one single mom telling me this. I'm a single mom with kids. I can't be changing my schedule, you know, on a dime.
So it's not always about hard economic incentives that you can measure.
Right.
Yeah, it's about some of these sort of softer things. Yeah.
Absolutely. And the word we heard a lot was dignity. I want to be treated with dignity.
Can I ask you about another recent Fed analysis looking at Philadelphia and other regions' reliance on eds and meds?
Yeah.
And it seemed like Philadelphia, compared to the average region in this country, was more reliant.
Yeah.
When I say eds and meds, I'm talking about higher education institutions and hospitals.
Yeah.
I think you argued earlier today in a speech that you made that that's a good thing, but I wanted to make sure I understood that. Because reliance doesn't always sound like a good thing.
No, it could be good or bad. So Philadelphia is 40% above the national average of eds and meds, but it's a huge industry for us. I mean, it's almost 500,000 workers in this region and about $50 billion in overall economic impact. So we looked at 524 regions across the U.S. and saw how important these institutions were. What matters here is, for Philadelphia, we have very strong eds and meds. But if you're in a region where the only game in town is a local state university, and because of demographic changes, what economists call the demographic cliff, the college-age population falling off, you're in trouble. So reliance, it cuts both ways. And that's what we're trying to understand. It's how can this data be used to help those communities figure out what their future is?
Real quickly, is that the job growth sector in this region over the next 5-10 years? Is it still eds and meds, or do you foresee something else emerging?
Yeah, the beauty of this region is we're a very diverse region. We have a lot of different industries. But eds and meds are clearly leading the way, particularly the research that's coming out around the mRNA vaccine technologies and cancer therapies that are being, you know, really pioneered here in Philadelphia.
Well, that is Patrick Harker, president of the Federal Reserve Bank of Philadelphia. We really appreciate your time. And you're our next-door neighbor here at Studio 2.
Yes, you'll have to come back.
Please come back over the picket fence anytime.
Okay.